Alrighty, Patrick. Well, it is that time of year again. While we're all sort of scrambling to get ready for the last crunch of holiday shopping and gathering with our families for the holidays, we thought it made sense to do a year in review here on the Rewards Canada Roundup podcast. And so we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the events that excited us by way of pros, positive news, and of course some that disappointed us by way of negative news. And we'll do a recap of what we think are the newsmakers. Of course, we'll invite you to share your thoughts as well. And then from there, we'll turn our eyes and ears towards the future and contemplate what's coming down the pike for 2018. So, Patrick, let us start off with positives. Let's talk about some of the things that excited you the most in 2017.
Yeah, so there were definitely a few things. The growth of WestJet Rewards, that program really took off this year. They've been, of course, for the last couple of years, been doing lots of changes and growing into their, as I always say, the full-fledged frequent flyer program, or FFP. But this year we saw them add partner redemptions. So for quite a while, they've had the ability to earn WestJet Rewards dollars on partner flights, say American Airlines, Delta, British Airways for a while there, and then that partnership ended. But now, so they've added the ability to redeem WestJet Rewards dollars on Delta, Qantas, Air France, and KLM. So within the span of less than a year, probably it was about more like 6-7 months, you could go from just redeeming on WestJet flights pretty much in North America, sun destinations, and their few destinations in Europe, to pretty much almost being able to get anywhere in the world with their partners, whether it's Johannesburg, South Africa, Sydney, Australia, Bangkok, Thailand, you name it. You can get there now with WestJet Rewards dollars. So definitely a huge positive. Nice to have another, I would say, large program on our hands in Canada after, you know, Air Canada bought out Canadian Airlines years ago and amalgamated the Canadian Plus program into Aeroplan. So really nice to see kind of a, you could almost say, a global player on the market again, and so that's been super exciting.
Well, and I'll just add, Patrick, you know, it's also great to see a company like WestJet advertising about the reward program. They've run a series of pretty powerful ads. They're known, of course, of creating some pretty memorable campaigns. And so this is something obviously they're quite serious about and they're investing heavily in. And so to your point, it's great to see you know, another major you know, contribution into the loyalty program like this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's great to see. It just provides that much more competition. You know, the only thing people tell me is like, well, you can't redeem for business class. It's like, well, if you think about it, that will probably come soon as WestJet adds business class to their 787s. They'll probably add that redemption option. I believe their back end systems just all their fares are economy class fares, so they don't even have kind of a business class option yet for their booking systems. But then even you look at numbers, for most Canadians, they're not redeeming for business class. I recall a stat from Aeroplan saying when they increased business class amounts for Aeroplan redemptions, it only affected something like 2% of all redemptions. So it really shone a number on there that most people are redeeming for economy class. And now, so you have a straight up competitor in WestJet Rewards to your Aeroplans, to your United Mileage Pluses, and other, and it's, we're just going to continue seeing that growth from WestJet. So that's the first plus of 2017.
All right, what's the other one that comes to mind?
The other big one, of course, you see it a lot on our site, is the American Express Cobalt Card, a game changing card in terms of earn and the way it's run and marketed. Coming out with a 5x multiplier bonus for eats and drinks, targeting that millennial group that they wanted to target. 2x on transport and transit, and then going that whole monthly subscription basis that millennials are used to, your Netflix, to your Crave TVs, you name it. You go that route where you just pay $10 a month. You're not getting hit with that $120 right off the bat that you have to pay for a card. It just makes it kind of more affordable for the millennial group. and more to just speaks to their lifestyle. And they've already thrown out, the card's only been around for about 3 months, and thrown out promotions with H&M. You have General Amex promotions that are targeting the Cobalt card. And then the month of December, they doubled the eats and drinks category to 10 times points for the first $2,000 in spending. So perfect timing for Christmas when people do spend more money on food. You know, you're buying turkeys and stuffing and all this stuff. And, you know, so it's, for a lot of people, it's not difficult to get to that 2,000 point level on eats and drinks when you add in your Starbucks, your Tim Hortons, your McDonald's, and everything else. And so in the month of this month, a lot of people will be earning 20,000 membership rewards points, which at a minimum is worth $200, if not more.
Well, indeed. And, you know, I was really excited to be at the launch. That was great for us to see Amex put a lot behind bringing that card to market. Of course, Gordon Ramsay was on site. We did that interview with him. And, you know, I think one of the things that stood out with this card is that, yeah, they are really identifying an underserved market. As you said, the millennials, a lot of marketers are after them, but you do have to tailor your offering. And it seems like these guys are onto something in terms of how they put this together. So, yeah, we'll keep our eyes on it and keep tracking some of those rich offers that they're pushing out there. Cool. All right. So we've got the Amex card. We've got WestJet. Anything else strike you as a big positive and something that we need to call out and applaud?
You know, the kind of the integration of PC Plus and Shoppers. There's pros and cons in that whole thing. But in general, you know, it's nice to see them finally grouping the two together and kind of giving more options in those programs in terms of earning points. So that in general, I think it's kind of a pro. I know some people are upset because your points can be worth a little less, but that's the Shoppers people, whereas the people at PC really aren't having things changed. So Shoppers Optimum, yeah, maybe he's getting a little bit of a devaluation, but in general, now you're going to be able to earn points at more places. And who knows, maybe they'll throw out more bonuses out of the Shoppers side because it's known for that. They always have their 20 times points events. Maybe they'll boost it to 25. Who knows? But in general, I think that whole integration and giving the notice many months ahead about the amalgamation of the programs, they did the right steps with it. And they can't always do everything 100% positive when you're combining programs that affect millions of people. They do have to look at their bottom line. So I do applaud them for the way it's been communicated, explaining how the program's going to work. They're not dropping a bombshell on everybody. So that's a kind of a pro there.
And of course, there's more to come on that one that we're going to wait and see how it all rolls out. And, you know, we'll probably hear a lot more in terms of some rich offers for members of that program. All right. So those were what we'll call the winners of 2017. Let's talk about some of the things that were a little more disappointing, shall we say, and even some things that caught us off guard altogether.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll start again. In the pros, we started with airlines and kind of Freedom Flyer program. We'll start the same here, and it's with the Aeroplan Air Canada split that was announced in, May. And it kind of caught everybody off guard. There had been some hints about it beforehand, but in general, I think for most people, it was unexpected. People thought that they would just renew the contracts, and right now it's not going that way. Air Canada is going to launch their own program in 2020, so everybody's wondering about the future of Aeroplan. And really, we just kind of have to sit and wait. There hasn't been much news from either. Aeroplan is a big program. You know, people were saying it's going to disappear 2020. It's not. It's going to change face. It's been known as a coalition program, but it's been a coalition and a frequent flyer program, kind of all in the same boat. And we're just going to see it become 100% coalition. So just like Air Miles, it'll be a direct competitor to Air Miles. But what the future or what it's going to look like in the future, we still don't know. So I think that's going to be kind of a look forward to 2018. We should start hearing more news about Air Canada's new program. We should have insight as to where Aeroplan is heading as well. We put a call out to them to let us know and let the reader, the general population know that as soon as something is signed, say if they're negotiating with an airline and they're going to be partners with that airline in 2020, don't hold off on letting people know. Let us know right away, because then people can decide, oh yeah, I'm going to stick with Aeroplan because they have this airline partner or that airline partner or this hotel partner going from that point forward. Because if you hold off too long, these people are going to look elsewhere because they don't know what they're going to be able to use their Aeroplan miles on or how they're going to earn them. So the sooner we can get that news, the better. Air Canada is a little bit of a different boat. That's going to be more for the frequent flyers and the frequent travelers. Of course, they're going to also want to know what that program is doing, but it doesn't have to be 2 years ahead. It might be a year ahead. I'm sure we'll start seeing in 2019 the news of where you're going to start be able to get credit cards for the program, kind of the earning. We know Star Alliance Airlines are all going to be in there. Air Canada has already said that. So it's kind of given us the what airlines are in the program, but as to what redemptions will be, what the offers will be for the elite members, that will probably, we won't see until 2019.
Indeed. And as you say, as we do hear more information about those details, we'll be sure to share that with everyone. All right. Yes, that was definitely something that caught us off guard and quite a reaction to that news. Let's turn our attention to then the credit card industry. There was another big surprise in terms of a card that suddenly decided enough is enough. We're packing up our bags. Why don't we talk about that one?
That's right. So that was the Capital One Aspire Travel World Elite MasterCard, one of the best cards in Canada for the last few years, just up and ended. They just uneconomical for Capital One, according to them. And they closed it down for new applications. Existing cardholders got to keep their card, and those that were grandfathered to the initial version years and years ago when it came out, being, you know, kind of a trendsetter, game-changing card at that time. So all those people still have the cards, but we don't know the exact future with the card, because other Capital One cards, namely the Delta SkyMiles and IHG Rewards Club cards, they did the same thing, closed them down for applications, and then sometime later, whether it be a year or 2 years later, they actually totally cut the cards and existing cardholders could not use them anymore. Hopefully that's not the case here, because the Aspire is such a strong product and quite a few people do own the card. And it can continue to be a good one, and maybe Capital One will reevaluate with our market picking up and come back and reissue the card again. They open it up, maybe change, hopefully grandfather everybody to what they're earning right now, but maybe change what they're offering on the card, because right now the Capital One portfolio is relatively weak compared to a lot of its competitors in terms of what they're offering in for new cards. You have your Costco Capital One card. You have the Capital One Aspire cash back, or the Platinum Travel. But those cards have a lot of competitors that offer more. So Capital One really needs to reevaluate their portfolio and hopefully come up with something that can compete on the higher end.
Well, indeed. And you know, maybe you can just remind everyone how often that card appeared at the top of the list for your rankings. And so it was one of those things where it had great fanfare and yet still couldn't seem to make it work.
Yeah, it really was unfortunate. It was there for, you know, several years. Don't have the number off the top of my head when they first launched the Aspire card. Then they made a slight change to it and it dropped in rankings, and they saw a huge hit in terms of applications. So they brought it back to being a much stronger card again. So it took the first place ranking, I think, for 2 or 3 years in the last couple of years. And so now we have to reevaluate what's going to be the top travel points card with annual fee for next year in that category. Because another one of its competitors that also was number one a couple years ago, and that was the next topic here we're going to talk about, is BMO and their devaluations. They're devaluing their cards. The BMO Rewards World Elite, as we announced on the website, is going through some changes. Of course, marketed as enhancements, but it's really in overall, it's more of a devaluation to the card, and those kick in on January 15th. And then also their BMO Rewards, Air Miles World Elite MasterCard gets a slight devaluation at that time as well, when their 25% discount for North American flight redemptions drops to 15%. So again, BMO changing up their cards, not for the better, which is kind of surprising when a lot of their competitors are either staying course or improving their offers. We've seen Scotia make huge updates, I can't really say updates, but I guess limited time offers, making their cards stronger. They haven't devalued any of their cards. TD's kind of stayed the course with their cards. CIBC stayed the course. Again, limited time offers that are making their cards more attractive. But really, the loss of Capital One and the BMO changes are the big negative changes in the credit card space this year.
Well, it is negative. And of course, last episode, we spent some time talking about this. It is one of the things that when you're a big bank and you kind of count on your customer base just choosing the card that comes with the bank relationship, I guess they feel they can get away with it, right? Maybe they don't need to be as sort of competitive as we think they should be. So that is disappointing. We hope it's not a continued trend, of course, that more and more devaluations will start to rear their ugly head. But it is something that has been happening with more regularity. So on that note, Patrick, we talked about now the BMO card. What do you think is another sort of, call it, negative trend that we need to sort of be mindful of and that people need to kind of pay more attention to?
So one is it's fraud, loyalty program fraud. We saw it with PC Plus. We've seen hotel chains have their systems hacked and data about users and credit cards go out there. But the credit card fraud has been around for a while. We've seen that. But the big one now is the loyalty program fraud. People are hacking into accounts, taking their points and utilizing them, like in the case of that PC Plus, to get gift cards at grocery stores and using them elsewhere. It just, things that they can quickly turn around so that they can't get caught. So that's kind of a negative area that we saw arise this year. We saw it with Air Miles as well, with the cash redemptions. So we've had some issues in terms of the account. So what we recommend is changing your passwords frequently, looking at your accounts frequently, seeing if there's any activity that's unusual, especially points coming out of your account. I mean, points being added to your account, some people may not mention anything, but definitely if you see points coming to your account that you did not redeem for, contact your loyalty program right away, and they can either put a hold on your account or go and change your password right away. This is going to be, I think, a big topic for the next few years, because a lot of the criminal element out there see the value in stealing these points and converting them into quick cash, whether it's gift cards or something that they can sell quickly.
Well, and, we talked about the need to go out and dig up some more information on this topic, because it is a one that obviously has major implications for so many Canadians that are collecting points, both in terms of tips and advice, but also, staying on top of some of these cases and how they're actually being done. The whole idea of checking your account frequently is something that we've both talked about. People just don't do it. They don't do it. I check my bank account fairly often, but when it comes to my loyalty points, unless I'm getting an email, say from Air Miles, for example, where it shows my balance, I'm less likely to just go in there and see whether or not transactions are taking place. So part of it is educating the public and suggesting that they take some of these measures into staying on top of things.
That's right. We did see that when the PC Plus issue happened. I got a few emails from other programs, PetroPoint, Scene, and some other of the Canadian programs, saying they recommend changing your password in light of what that happened in the PC program. So the programs are staying on top of it. And hopefully they themselves on the back ends are putting in systems to check and see, I guess, activity that may not look normal in your account. If you're somebody who hasn't redeemed for 3 years and all of a sudden all your points have disappeared for gift cards, maybe they need to look into that and see that that wasn't you, because you've been saving up for a flight to somewhere. So the onus is mainly on the collector. But it would help if the programs themselves also put things in place to kind of catch that unusual activity.
All right. Well, again, we'll look to explore the topic further in 2018. Speaking of 2018, let's now segue over to projections. What do we think will be either a trend that will likely continue or maybe something completely different emerge in 2018? So, Patrick, what are your top thoughts on that?
All right. So I think we may see some credit card issuers follow suit of the Cobalt card. And one of the reasons why is, and we've mentioned this, is the Cobalt card is a monthly subscription card. You pay $10 a month, and that initial sign-up bonus for the first year is also split up for those first 12 months. So even though the card says it comes with 30,000 point sign-up bonus, that's split up 2,500 points per month. So it's hard to game the card. And I think the banks will really take notice of this, and they may change a lot of their cards and go the same route to avoid the gaming, or as we say, the churning, the travel hacking, by getting tons of points within a couple months on a card and then using those points and canceling it. So I think we'll definitely see that happen in 2018, at least with one other card, maybe more, that will go kind of that more subscription basis on cards to avoid the gaming, because people do put in terms and conditions on their cards that, you know, you can only have this card once every 6 months, or if you've got the sign-up bonus before, you can never get it again. But it is sometimes people find ways around that. By doing a subscription basis, you may be re-rewarding a bonus for somebody who's canceled the card, but you're keeping them longer. You're keeping them for at least 12 months with the card, and then they may cancel and then 6 months later get it. So at least you're getting them using that card for the 12 months, and you're getting more money back, I guess, in revenues versus the quick turnaround cards that we have in the market at the current basis outside of the Cobalt card. So I think on the card side, that's what we're going to see. I don't know if we'll see too many other large changes in credit cards. You know, TD came out with their new cashback ones. We've seen a lot of changes to the BMO ones. I don't think there many cards will change. They'll kind of stay the course. We haven't seen too much news out of RBC, what they're doing with their cards. Like if the Avion's going to stay the course, they told me they feel it's a hero product. So I don't think their mentality around the card is to change it much. BMO's made their changes. Scotia's keeping strong. What we're going to watch out for is, are there going to be any other new cards after a year where, you know, we had some new ones come out already? And the only thing I could think of is if there's going to be any co-brands. But as I mentioned at a conference last year, that the co-brand market in Canada is difficult. We've lost IHG, we lost Delta, American Airlines, all these different companies, Amazon, that have had cards in Canada, no longer do. And it's because it's hard to break in being a non-Canadian loyalty program. If you look at the numbers behind some of the credit cards out there that are tied into non-Canadian programs, their actual numbers are really low. So we're surprised that they actually keep their cards going. So outside of your Aeroplans, your WestJets, RBC Avions, BMO Rewards, and Air Miles, it's very difficult for new cars to come here. People are hoping IHG comes back. We would love it too, because it is a big chain with a lot of hotels in Canada, a lot of people using the program. IHG told me that they are investigating, perhaps launching another card, but we don't know yet. And that kind of leads us into the whole hotel industry, where, I mean, these aren't credit cards, but Fairmont, as you may have seen on the Roars Canada website in the last week or two, was bought out by Accor Hotels in France a couple years ago, and the Fairmont Presidents Club program will be folded into Lake Club Accor Hotels in July of next year. So that program and its very famous upgrade certificates and free night certificates that come when you got elite status will disappear. So there's pros and cons of that. The cons are all those upgrades are disappearing, those free night certificates are disappearing. But on the pro side, the Accor Hotels program, if you're earning airline miles for that program, in most cases you'll actually earn more miles for your stays now, it seems like, depending on how much you spend for your hotel. So we're going to lose a program next year in Fairmont's Presidents Club. We now also know that Starwood and Marriott should not be joining together the programs next year. It'll probably be in 2019. Something so you'll have to look at. I'm sure by this time next year, we'll all know what is exactly happening with the program. We know in the U.S. that they've already announced that Chase and Amex will issue credit cards for whatever the new program will be. We're waiting to see what's going to happen here in Canada. Amex issues the Starwood card. Very popular card. I would still recommend getting it because of its value. You have at least another year to use it for Starwood, and then whatever the new program is, you can use those points there. We lost the Chase Marriott Visa. That was another card we lost this year. Not just the Amazon Visa from Chase, but the Marriott. Existing cardholders do have the card, but it was closed down for applications. So we'll wait to see what happens as we get closer to 2019, if Marriott's planning to launch a card here, if they're going to stick with the SPG card with Amex, because it does almost seem that's what's going to happen in the U.S. If Marriott was to launch a card here, possibly be with Scotia, since Scotia runs most of Chase's back end here in Canada, but you never know. They might have sent out an RFP and gone to other banks. So another prediction, we may see, let's cross our fingers, announcement of a new Marriott card next year, or a combined, whatever the new program is, card, and hopefully they'll also still be connected with Amex.
So, I mean, overall, it sounds like, yes, there could be some new exciting things coming down, coming towards us. One of the things that we didn't talk about, maybe this is what we can sort of wrap this up talking about, is the continued trend to introduce, you know, more experiences into the overall reward program offering. So, you know, we talked about hotels doing more and more by way of experiences. Do you see this as something that will be sort of dialed up across all loyalty programs in 2018?
Absolutely. I still think it's going to be a continuing trend. Starwood was the trendsetter there, but Marriott launched their Moments program as well. ISG has had them. Best Western, we haven't written about it yet. We've been planning to. They've launched an experiences portion where you could redeem Best Western points for them. Aeroplan has run certain ones as well, where you can bid points for one-of-a-kind experiences. It's all about providing more options for the users because of all the excess miles and points out there that are being held by all these users or members, and giving them options that they can use them for something rather than just sit there. And a lot of these experiences are appealing because they are the one-of-a-kind thing. You know, Starwood is kind of the trendsetter there with really exciting packages to go see, like U.S. Open tennis or concerts at the O2 Arena in London. That's just several to name a few, but they have them all over the globe. Marriott just announced their partnership with Maple Leaf Sports. You're going to be able to bid points for Toronto Maple Leafs packages. A lot of exciting movement in that whole experience aside, because they found that people are using it. Otherwise it wouldn't see this continued growth. So it's definitely something people are looking for, because it is those kind of, it's one of a kind things that normally you probably wouldn't pay cash for, or not even think about. You didn't even know that, oh, that this concert's coming, and all of a sudden you can redeem your points for it and get a suite and get a hotel stay and a dinner with it and all these things for a decent amount of points, which provide great value. So yeah, we're definitely going to see that trend continue in 2018.
Great. Well, on that note, let us, you know, keep our eyes and ears peeled for that. And of course, in early 2018, I guess Rewards Canada will likely kick the year off with your own ranking again, right? Is that something that we can expect to promote?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I'll be, I haven't picked an exact date yet, but it's every January now for the last few years, and it'll continue to be January, but expect some changes, of course, in the rankings because of cards we've lost and cards that we've gained. But not only that, there's going to be some changes to the category. So stay tuned. You're going to see a different look to it this year because we are changing up some of those categories. So yeah, it's just wait till mid to late January and you'll see our rankings.
Perfect. All right, folks, that's it for this show. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and have a great Happy New Year. We'll be sure to check in with everyone early in the new year and talk more about the wonderful world of reward points.